First Corinthians, please.
Chapter 1. First Corinthians, chapter 1. I'd like to read from verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Come on down with me, please, to verse 21. For after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And I want to look at little people today. Come with me to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes. And they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. One more, John chapter 6 and verse 7, please. John 6 and verse 7. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fish, as much as they would. Verse 14, And those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is a truth, the prophet that should come into the world. Lord, bless us with the pretty reading of his word. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, read about what God has chosen. Of course, it's not very flattering, is it? For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are not, and the base things, and the things which are despised, ye hath God chosen. So when we look at the people of God today, we know that there's not many mighty. The Lord told His disciples, you have the poor with you always. And seemed to be a key where to take the gospel. For the poor, as we know in experience, seem to have an ear where the richer, the mightier, the more famous, more powerful people of this world seem to be taken up with whatever they're taken up with. And their ear to the things of God, it doesn't seem to be open like the poor. And of course, we're seeing in the world today, in the so-called third world countries, that there's a greater ear there than in rich Canada today. So, I suppose I fall into this class. The foolish, the weak, the base, the despised, and the things that are not. But God just didn't chooses to do nothing. God chose us for a purpose. God had a goal for us. And of course, it's to bring to naught the things that are. God was going to put within us something very special, something very wonderful. First of all, the Holy Spirit. And then He was going to deposit ability in us that was going to be empowered by the Spirit of God. And then He wants to deposit the truth that will meet the need of not only those that are despised and those that are base and foolish and weak, but it'll even meet the need of those that are mighty and noble, but it's to get their ear. Because they have no interest in the things of God. They have no interest in the eternal. Everything is so wonderful down here for them in the things of this world. There's success, there's gain, there's victory. But the poor now, there's no success. There's no gain. There's very little pride. There's very little victory. A lot of times there's sorrow. And there's sickness. Lack of love. Nobody's interested in them. But God is. And so He says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, when we read in Matthew chapter 21, I read words that, as a young Christian, I found very, very strange. It says, the Lord hath a need of them. Strange to think that the Lord has a need. He's all-powerful. He has all the wisdom that there is. All the treasures of knowledge and wisdom are hid within Him. There's nothing that He can't do. There's nothing He doesn't understand. He has the future in the palm of His hand. He knows what's going to happen. And what kind of a need would He have with us? Well, He's designed it that way. I know it's the power of God that does the work. But those foolish, those little people, those weak, those despised, those nobodies that the world doesn't take notice of, He's designed that He will put things into their hands that He needs. He needs of them to use in this mighty work. He's brought us in. But the problem is, if He's going to use those that He's gifted, those that He's put the Word of God in their hearts, they need to be ready. Those gifts need to be developed. The Word of God needs to be taken in. The hours of studying and the hours of training, learning how to present the arguments to the lost, or to the babes in Christ, or to teach the Word of God in depth to the sheep. Individuals that have this ability are needed. Now what he talks about here, first of all, is this colt, and this donkey. And he tells the disciples, he says, you go over to the village that's close to you, and you go get them, and if any say, what are you doing? Just say the Lord has need of them. And they allow it to come. And the need was at this time, he wanted to fulfill a prophecy in the Old Testament, Zechariah, about the Lord Jesus being presented to the nation. And he needed this colt and this donkey. They were going to set him on it. And he was going to ride in. And of course, they were going to lay down the palm branches. And they were going to cry. The multitudes were going to cry, "Hosanna, the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And it says, all Jerusalem was moved when he came that day. The king came. Scripture was fulfilled. Of course, it wasn't long after. They cried, "Crucify." But in order for this scripture to be fulfilled, and they said, "This is Jesus, prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." In order for this to happen, there was a need that had to be fulfilled. The man that owned these animals, he had to allow them to be given. Now, we read that he goes over to a village, and they're going to find these two animals there. He doesn't talk about any other animals. Maybe there was no other animals like that in the village. I don't know. And this man, is this all he had? Did he have many? Or just these two? My point is, it seems from our context here that he had the two. Now, others were coming for them. They were his. He could do what he wanted with them, right? But the Lord had a need. And the Lord knew if there was going to be resistance, just mention my name, and he would give them over. The Lord has a need. He had a need of these animals to fulfill this prophecy, to fulfill his desires, to get tremendous glory, and to move the whole city. The Lord still has needs today. This man, very likely, was a poor man. He was one of the little people, it seems. Didn't have a lot. But he was needed by the Lord. The people of God today, some have a lot, some don't. But the Lord has a need of what you have. Better yet, the Lord has a need of you. This man could have said no to the Lord's need. Beloved, you and I have that choice too. We could say no when the Lord lays something on our hearts. We could withhold something that we have. We could refuse to do what He wants and to think He created us. And He bought us with a tremendous price. And He had a purpose for little people. See, sometimes we think we're too small. We think we're unimportant. We think, let the older men do it. They've been around longer. They know. They can do it better. And many Christians seem to just slide off into a corner. And young Christians have this problem. They look at the older man and, oh, they know so much of the Bible. And they have a way of presenting in the Bible, and they can preach the gospel so well. What can I do? Well, God's put within every one of us ability. And that ability needs to be developed. And there has to be room to develop the ability. And men, older men that have gone on before and seen others raise up, know that these young believers need opportunity. And they need to be channeled, because they may have an ability for something that they're not doing, and may think they have ability for something they want to do and they don't have it. But there has to be room, and that's the beauty of the priesthood of all believers. That's the beauty of the assemblies. Because those that are going to handle the Word of God must study the Word of God so that they develop in the things of God. But always there's the fear that we can't do it right. Somebody else can do it. And we tend to withhold and not develop and not get the experience. Now today, as we've been hearing, the Lord's coming. Our little day's almost over. But if He tarries, oh, it doesn't have to tarry long, just another generation. The older men are going to pass away. The men that I used to ask my questions to when I couldn't get it from the Lord, and didn't seem to have anything in the commentaries, but there were faithful men, men that I knew didn't know everything, but I knew from their heart that they desired the things of God. We used to be able to go to them, but some of them have gone. Some of them, their minds are gone. That generation is passing off. There's another generation coming up. But there's another generation that's behind. I used to look at little children and not think much about them. I look at them a lot different now. If the Lord tarries, those precious little souls, of course we always wanted them to get saved, but I never thought of them of being the teachers of a coming generation. I never thought of them of being the evangelists of the next generation. They weren't important. I was too busy ahead of me. Now I'm looking. I've got a little ways to go, but I'm looking that I'm not going to be here forever. They're coming. Those little lambs, they need shepherding. They need corralling. They need feeding. And they need opportunity to develop their ability. Because one day the Lord's going to have great need of them. Now, I read about a little lad here. And there was another need that day. The Lord wanted to feed a multitude. And this lad, he only had the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fishes. And the disciples looked at that and they said, what are they? Here they were, the followers of the Lord, but they had no understanding yet of the greatness of what Christ could do. And the beauty of this, the little lad with his little lunch, seemed to be all that was there and all that he had, he gave it. But he put it into the hands of Christ. Beloved, your little gift or knowledge of the Scriptures, your maybe little home, maybe you don't have a fancy car, maybe you don't have a lot of food. Now in Canada that's hard to believe, but sometimes it's true. Whatever the Lord's need is in your little area, the Lord has need of your ability. He has need of your food. He has need of your vehicle. He has need of your home. And He's given it to you to meet the need. He knows what the need's going to be. But you can say no and not meet the Lord's need. You know, He may have somebody else set up for it. Like when it came to the tabernacle. Many put their gold and silver and jewels into the idol that was supposed to be used in the tabernacle. But the Lord had made sure there was much abundance. But I know areas where there's great need and it seems like there's nobody there doing the work. There's nobody taking the gospel to the lost in that area. It seems in Canada, it's very dark out there today. The children growing up have never heard of the Bible. Read or what's in it, the stories of it. It's not in the schools. Prayer is not there. They're in darkness. And it's amazing how you can talk to them so easily and almost hang that before them that you don't know what's in the Bible. You're missing out on a lot. And you know, you get their interest that way. But there's needs. Now again, this little lad could have said no. And in both cases, they handed over what they had. The man with the animals, the little lad with the loaves and the fishes. And when those men had seen the miracle that Jesus did, they said, this is the truth, the prophet that should come into the world. Where did that come from? Well, it came from a heart of a little lad. It came from a man that was willing to give up his animals. And of course, we could go on. There was the lady with the poor widow with the 2 mites. And it's amazing that she could see the men casting in their abundance, or maybe she couldn't. Maybe her heart and her eyes were so taken up with God that didn't mean anything to her. And she not only gave her little, she gave her all. And it seemed that that was the greatest thing in the world for her to do at that moment. She was just a little person. And the Lord took great account of it. And we can go on and we can see that, oh, there was another woman. She had a little more. And she brought that alabaster box of ointment. Spikenard, very, very precious. 300 pence. Some say a year's wages. And the Lord said she did what she could. And she came before and she anointed his body for his burial. Seems like she's a woman that knew the mind of God, knew what was coming, knew the need of Christ, and whatever the cost, she was willing to pay it. And then we can go down, and there's another little maid. And now this little maid's a slave in the home of a great rich man, but the man's got problems. He's got leprosy. And she could have been bitter and happy that he had this disease and he deserved it because look what she's doing to me and to my people. But that didn't seem to be her attitude. She said to the mistress, "Would the God, my Lord, would be with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." She wanted to help him, despite what happened to her. And you know, this little maid just told what she knew. She didn't know a lot. She was just a little person. Probably hardly noticed. And that little maid told something that got Naaman healed, and likely did more for Israel than the armies of Israel ever thought of doing. She calmed the heart of their enemies by just standing up and telling a little that she knew. And then there was a man by the name of Philip, of course. He was an evangelist. And he was doing a great work down in Samaria, and there was a lot professing. But he was told to go out into the wilderness. I don't know if the Lord told him why. It doesn't seem like it. But you know what the beauty of it? This man went where he was told. Now, he could tell the eunuch a lot more than a little maid could. But that was expected. He was gifted by God for this purpose. And he knew something of the Word of God when he read it. But he was obedient. He wasn't full of pride down there in Samaria and wanted to walk around and get the pat on the back. He went off in the wilderness where really there wouldn't seem like there would be anything out there. But he was obedient to the Word of God in the direction that God gave him. And then we read of Peter, a great man amongst the disciples, but he prayed a short prayer. He was in trouble. Great man getting in trouble too. And he was on the water and he was losing his faith and he was going down. And he said, "Lord, save me." And the beauty of it, here's the man with his eyes off Christ, losing his faith, in trouble, and the Lord immediately came and saved him. It doesn't matter where we are. If there's true repentance and we really turn to the Lord. He had his eyes off the Lord. And maybe there's some here today and you got your eyes off the Lord. But here was a man and he got his eyes back on the Lord and he prayed a short prayer and the Lord answered that prayer. And of course through Samuel. And he says, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Now he's praying for Saul. Well, Saul needed it, but... And Samuel, he cried unto the Lord all night. He was a man of prayer. The Lord's in need. Oh, we were in need, weren't we? We were on that broad road. We were blind. We were helpless. We're on our way to hell and eventually the lake of fire. And we couldn't stop it. We had no way of fixing the problem. We have no way of getting ourselves out of it. But God knew all about that, didn't he? He knew about our great need. And he could have said no. It was going to cost him. And God spared not his own son. And delivered him up for us all. That we might be here today. That we might be part of that bride. We're expecting the coming of the Lord. But he hasn't come yet and the Lord's got a need. He's got a need of men praying all night or women praying all night. He's got a need of short prayers. He's got a need of evangelists going and telling what they know and doing what they're told. He's got a need of a little maid just telling what she knows. He's got a need of rich women or men pouring it all out. He's got a need of poor widows. and their hearts are right. And they're giving it all to Christ. He's got a need of a little lad that has what is needed for the moment, but it's needed to be put in the hands of Christ. The little lad can't feed the multitude, but he's got what is needed, what the Lord will use, and so do you, brother and sister, for this area. He's given it to you. Whatever that might be. And we may not know what he's going to call on tomorrow. But is there someone here going to say no? And then, of course, he's going to need of a man with his animals. The Lord met our need. He bought us with a tremendous price. Now it's our turn. That's why we're here. At this time, in this generation. Multitudes going to hell. Now, we know they're not all going to be saved, but God is working with some of them. And there are maybe some that are saved that need help. Spiritual, love, a meal, a ride. Will you meet the need? Or will you say no? The choice is yours. Think of Peter, though. And after he denied Christ 3 times, he had to look in those eyes. This afternoon we could look in those eyes, beloved. We may not have time to meet the need. Or maybe we have what needed to be done. But we're going to meet Him. And if He doesn't come, He's got great needs. And He's chosen you. And He's given you what is necessary.